Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, welcome in. Happy Thursday. Joe Beamer with you for the next 2 hours here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We have got a packed show for you. We're going to focus in on the Westwood, the former Westwood Country Club, in just a few seconds with GOP candidate for Amherst Supervisor Dan Gagliardo. At 1:35, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick on the DJ Granville case. We'll also ask him about his thoughts on the county trying to move the Buffalo News into the clerk's office. And at 2 o'clock, District Attorney Michael Kane to talk about that Buffalo News office, to talk about bail reform, raise the age, and, of course, the DJ Granville case, which there was a press conference this morning. So all of that, as I said, a packed show. So without further ado, let's go to our first guest. It is Amherst Supervisor Candidate, GOP-endorsed Dan Gagliardo. Dan, welcome back to the show.
How are you, Joe?
I'm doing all right, Dan. So we have a pretty significant update on the Westwood Country Club.
We do. You are the first to hear it, to get it out there. But we've prepared and we're filing an Article 78 to stop this madness that's going on in the town of Amherst.
And now, this afternoon at 4 o'clock is when the official vote to hand over the property is supposed to take place?
Yes, and you know what's interesting, Joe, is that we found this out 2 days, that they had 48 hours to do it. So 48 hours ago, they stuck it in on the website, and then it was out there, and they didn't want anybody to know. Now, I remember how they did this with the tax increase. 2 days after the election, they did the exact same thing. So this is definitely a pattern that we're seeing from this town, from the Lavin Culpa administration.
And this is, usually their meetings are on Tuesday, so this is kind of off the regular schedule. But as it's supposed to be today, when the vote takes place, it'll officially be Erie County's, or does your lawsuit stop that? How does that factor in?
Basically, what happens is they vote on it today. I don't know how the vote's going to go, but I'm sure that they're calling it this quickly because they want to get it passed. And what is the Article 78 will clearly state the problems that they had in doing what they did. And then it will have to go to court and we're going to fight it all the way. And I want to say something else. Today, another thing we just found out, that they're not allowing any public expression at the town board meeting today.
So it's a closed meeting?
No, we can go there, but we can't talk.
And this is the only thing on the agenda for today's meeting?
That is it.
and it will be the club for $1. And Dan, for people who haven't been following this, I mean, we've been following this pretty closely on the show, but for people who haven't been following this, I mean, this has been an ongoing battle since the county and Amherst announced it, correct?
Exactly. And everything that was sent to you now, Joe, you're going to see a package was sent to all the press. And basically what you're going to see is you're going to see the press release that outlines what we're doing with the Article 78. You're also going to see an iceberg graph, and you're going to see how much money we've spent with the Amherst Central Park theme that shows that it's been over $27 million that they don't want you to know about. We also have subsequent documentation to show how we came up with that money, as well as you're going to have two articles. And in those articles, you're going to see the first one that tells you that golf courses and how exponentially the purchasing of golf courses throughout the country have gone up significantly. And we've already talked to two people who I have conversations with tomorrow to talk about Westwood. So they're negligent in what they're doing here, Joe.
And again, speaking of the $27 million, I mean, over $7 million of that is what Amherst initially put down to buy this country club. And if this vote goes through and the county takes it over, that is money that the town of Amherst is officially out of.
Yes, they lose the $7.8 million. Let's not forget about the $3.3 million that they're going to be paying in interest over the next 23 years. So everything, and don't forget this as well, we're also going to pay more county tax for the upkeep of this as well. So these delusions that they have that, oh, it's going to be spread out over more people. And let me ask another question, Joe. What do you think the other people of Erie County think about another park that most of the people in Erie County won't be using? What are those people? And why is he using the $7 million for something other than another park? Why? I don't understand it. It's because it's an election year, Joe. It's because they're trying to make themselves look better than they really are.
It's interesting because there are members of the legislature who obviously don't who don't represent Amherst, and they have the same questions. What is the county getting out from their investment into the country club? Now, you mentioned the tax increase that everyone remembers, the 13.1, 2 days after the election. But as you've summarized, Dan, taxes have actually gone up more in this last administration.
Basically, what's happened is taxes have went up 40% over the last 8 years. They have broke the tax cap 5 of the 7 years. And the only 2 years that they didn't do it was the election year, which was 0% tax increase. But 2 days later, they brought it up for the next year. And then this year, they went up 1.99%, which is the cap. But what they didn't tell you is they took 12.9% out of the highway department so they could keep it at 1.99%. See, you know, Joe, this is the stuff that happens when the Lavin Culp administration and this town board, when they are not upfront about what they're doing and what they're trying to do. They try to paint this as that we don't want a park and we don't want to see it develop. We most certainly do. We should have listened to the residents 11 years ago to keep it as a golf course. But I'm more upset because what this administration has done is they haven't looked at every viable option. They should have went out for an RFP to see if anybody was interested. Like that article will show you how many companies there are out there that are interested in doing this type of thing. But they haven't even went out and done that. And second of all, they haven't looked at what this is going to mean to Autobahn and losing money that we make. I didn't know that we could just frivolously give away the money that we make on Autobahn because we're putting another golf course. This just doesn't make sense to me. This is just ludicrous. But let me tell you something. I'm glad it's going to stay green, but this is the first time that they've come up saying that they wanted to keep it green because they wanted to do musical fair. They had all these other cockamamie things that were going on. And now all of a sudden, we're expected to just whatever whims they have right now, Lavin and Culpa and the county, they all do this stuff. What about the residents? Who's listening to the residents? So you want to know something? I put up my own money. The candidates and I put up our own money to fight this. And that's why we're doing an Article 78.
You mentioned the county executive, and again, just how quickly this was, because, Dan, it seems like a year ago we were talking about musical fair. Obviously, that didn't go through. That didn't get approved. And then really no one heard of this until, I believe it was the county executive's state of the county. And like you said, in an election year, all of a sudden now the county is going to purchase this for a dollar, and Amherst doesn't see a dime. What you're proposing is Amherst keeps it, they redevelop it, and then you get the benefits of owning the property.
Exactly. And let me just say something. It wasn't in his state of the county address. He had a conversation in October 2024 that they were taking over Westwood, and that he was going to, and they said, you can have an exclusive on it. And he said this to a person. And then all of a sudden he says, no, I'm waiting till next year because it's an election year. Now here's the problem. He waited till April. He didn't put in the state of the county address. So now what happens is they lay it in front of us and say, hey, this is happening. Now, do you know that after they said that, the only meeting that came up was August 18th. So they waited from April to August 18th. And you want to know why they waited to August 18th? Because on August 10th, in order for us to have had a referendum, we would have had to start it. And by September 10th, we would have had it certified that we could have had a permission. We could have had a referendum on the ballot. But guess what? The second meeting was September 2nd. So they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew why they did it and how they were going to do it. These are very calculating steps. This is what they do. And listen, the people are outraged. They're outraged. 2 days, you give us 2 days notice, and you're going to do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when nobody can be there and you're not going to let us talk? Something's wrong.
Sean Lavin will be on Tuesday. He was invited to come on right after Dan, not available today. He'll be on Tuesday to answer these questions. And, you know, Dan, to me, and I'll say this to him as well. I mean, to me, it seems as if they didn't want this property to be a campaign point, but they actually made it a pretty loud and center of the campaign point.
They most certainly did. And that's because when we gave them the original When the Nicholas Group gave the original assessment, what they should have done is they should have known right then and there that we had a viable piece of property that we could have possibly put back on the tax rolls. That is our responsibility, Joe. That is what we're supposed to do as elected officials. We got to make sure that we go out and try to get the maximum amount of what we've got in this town. Look at, we're $194 million in debt. So you would think that you would want to bring more tax revenue in so we could offset those costs. But they didn't do that. And the problem that I have with this is that you didn't do that. You haven't listened to the residents, and you're arrogant enough to think that you know better than we do. Brian Koppel said it on a show right after that last meeting. We're the representatives of you. Not everything goes before a referendum. We're the ones who make decisions. Well, guess what? You've made some pretty bad decisions over the last 8 years. It's obvious, and you could see it in our financials and the things that have occurred over the last 8 years.
Seems like the same thinking that we see a lot out of the Rath building, to be honest.
Yeah, and you know, here's the funny thing. What we should be doing and what we should be looking at is we should be trying to save fiscally responsible decisions. We should be doing that. We've had the opportunity over the last 8 years to see what we're going to experience if my opponent is elected. Look, there has never been such a distinct difference between two candidates. You could see where Sean's going, and you could see where I want to go. And I will tell you that all those homes that I've knocked on and all those people I have spoken to, everybody I have spoken to, are tired of this shroud of secrecy that has followed and plagued this administration. And now they have to answer for themselves. The Article 78 is clearly to show that you've done it wrong. The process by which you went was wrong. And you need to be responsible for your actions. And this is an electric. This is an election campaign issue. Because this one issue, Joe, encapsulates this entire administration. Fiscal irresponsibility, lack of transparency, not understanding what the residents want, and not explaining yourself as to what the steps are. This one issue encapsulates Boulevard Mall, a gun club, all of these things that have occurred over the last 8 years. Clear, obvious.
I'll say this, and again, I will say this to your opponent on Tuesday. You know, if you're outside of Amherst and you're hearing this, I mean, every time, Dan, this comes up, we have callers that call in that aren't regular callers to the show that are just upset about what you said. More so that they don't feel like their voice was heard by their town government. Like, and it's different people, and you know, it's people that don't usually call into the show that are on the line when the when there's a development in this Westwood story.
That's right, and I think that it's time. It's time that we hold everybody responsible for their actions. 11 years ago, this course, there were some issues with it. I had a debate with my opponent last week, and it was brought up. And one of the things that he said was, hey, look, at this has been on, you know, people could have come and told us that they were interested in it back then. Listen, that was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Do you know what property values? We had COVID. People, golf courses are, they're right now, they're the hottest properties out there. This is how delusional this group is. They don't even understand that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they did it for musical fair. When they got stopped, what happened was we put together this, under them, they came up with this whole Amherst Central Park concept. Well, all the stuff that was going on was based on musical fair passing. Well, it didn't work. Now, all of a sudden, we're left holding the bag, trying to figure out what we're going to do. You want to know why we have issues? We have issues because we spend too much money and we don't think about what we're spending it on. This is not fiscal responsibility. This is irresponsibility at its finest. And I don't. And this is all about facts. This is about the facts of what's going on out there. And look, they can answer for themselves. I'm looking forward to hearing what Sean has to say.
I will say this, if people don't feel like they're being heard, that especially at the town level, I mean, the town level is where you're supposed to have the most impact. I always tell people, you know, it never made sense to me how so many people will focus on these national elections when it's the town, the county, the state elections that you feel the effects of a lot quicker than any national election. If people don't feel like they're being heard, you know, that's a problem. Dan, we're looking forward to seeing what happens at 4, and then we'll follow through with the lawsuit.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate you having me on as well.
Anytime, Dan. And we'll talk again very soon. That's Dan Gagliardo. He is running for supervisor of Amherst. The deputy supervisor, Sean Lavin, is running for supervisor, the endorsed Democrat. Again, he was invited for 1:30 today, could not make it. He will be on Tuesday, and we'll ask him the same questions. You know, I will say the same things to Sean that I said to Dan. And again, I feel if you want to have that office, well then you're gonna you'll have to answer to the critics, and again we look forward to seeing where that goes. The vote is 4:00 today, and it'll be at the Amherst Municipal Building. As Dan said, there won't be a public. There won't be an option for public opinion, but you can go to the meeting. And then as soon as that happens, you will see the lawsuit filed over the Westwood deal. And that's what Dan was laying out. And again, I'm sure we will have a follow-up with Dan sometime next week. And as I said, we will be talking with Sean Lavin on Tuesday at 1:35. We will be talking with Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak at 1 on Monday. He is going to be talking with Susan and Brian tomorrow at 7:20. And then he will be with me for the hour taking your phone calls on Monday. So, you know, appreciate, you know, Brian and I, we disagree on a few things, but I appreciate him wanting to come on the station and not only wanting to talk to me, wanting to talk to you, the listeners, wanting to talk to the constituents. Again, being part of being a leader and having that job is talking to critics, talking to people who disagree with you. I am glad that there are some people who disagree with me who will still regularly come on the show. And like I said, looking forward to Supervisor Nowak on the show this coming Monday. When we come back, the Erie County Comptroller, Kevin Hardwick, will be on the show. He is going to be talking about the DJ Granville case. There was a press conference this morning. He made some comments, and we're going to have him elaborate on those comments. And then at 2 o'clock, the District Attorney of Erie County. I told you it was a packed show. A packed show. We start. We have Dan Gagliardo, breaking news. We've got Kevin Hardwick commenting on breaking news, and we'll have the district attorney also commenting on breaking news. I should also point out that Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns will be on with Bowerly to talk about the next chapter in the Buffalo News County office saga. So we have got a bunch of news that we are breaking and making today on News Radio 930 WBEN. So happy that you're here for it. When we come back, Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This was in the commercial, Tanner. Monster Ballads. Final day of Monster Ballads here as our bumps on News Radio 930 WBEN. As I told you, we're breaking news. Maybe we're making news. This is a packed show. We started with Dan Gagliardo. And again, there's no public expression, but the meeting is open to the public at 4 o'clock as the vote happens on the Westwood Country Club. And then the lawsuit will go into effect. Again, if you missed that interview, you can download it on the Odyssey app. But don't do that until, you know, later on. You want to listen to my show and Tom's show. But all that is available for you on the Odyssey app. Today, the Erie County Legislature called on Attorney General Letitia James and Governor Kathy Hochul to investigate the case of DJ Granville. Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick was also part of that announcement and joins us now. Comptroller, thank you. Welcome to the show.
You're welcome, Joe.
Now, this is a story that just seemingly won't go away, Kevin. You said that this was an effective cover-up that worked for 11 months. Explain that.
Well, the accident that involved seven other vehicles was April 11th of 2024. That's April 11th of last year. It was effectively covered up until March 11th of this year. That's 11 months. When Investigative Post and Channel 2 and other media outlets reported on it. So, you know, if it weren't for those media outlets, Erie County taxpayers would be out $70,000, maybe more, because all the claims haven't been paid yet on that for all the damage, would have been out there. And now we hope to claw that back from Detective Granville. So, yeah, they were very effective in covering up. Furthermore, I mean, it's still, you know, it's 6 months after March 11th when this whole story eventually did break, and we still don't have the answers to a lot of questions. So I think it's an ongoing cover-up. Now, who's involved in that cover-up, how far up the chain of command it goes, we have no way of knowing, which is why earlier this year, a few weeks ago, I called upon the Attorney General and called upon the governor to investigate this from the state level. And the Democratic caucus of the Erie County Legislature joined me in that call today.
Now, you said that you don't know, but do you have an idea of who could be involved in this cover-up? Are you looking at anyone in particular or any people in particular?
If I am, I wouldn't admit it on your show, Joe, but certainly I have my fears. And I think until we get an independent investigation, we won't know, and I think we owe it to everybody because there's a cloud of suspicion around the Buffalo Police Department, around the sheriff's office, and I think that's unfair to anyone in those agencies that were not involved in this, and I think they want to see it cleared up as quickly as we do, if not quicker. So I think that we're hoping that the governor, the attorney general, they do the right thing. They get involved in this. I can't imagine why they wouldn't want to get involved. You know, as I mentioned in the press conference today, law enforcement, you know, it's not an easy job. And to do the job correctly, you need the support. You need the trust of the public. This terrible incident down in Texas yesterday at the ICE facility, I mean, I think illustrates that. You want people backing the blue, and it's tough to do that when people have their suspicions about the way cops are treated as the way in relative to the way that the rest of us would be treated, and then the cover up only exacerbates that problem. So I think it's high time we get to the bottom of this. I think the sooner we do that, the better it is for everybody, especially for the people in law enforcement. Because we need to stop this erosion of trust. We need to put the trust back in there. We need to make sure that people believe that the law enforcement officials are credible. And I think that'll make everybody's job, especially theirs, a lot easier.
So have you lost faith or have you never had faith in the special prosecutor?
I think the special, as Chair Tim Myers of the legislature said today, you know, the special prosecutor, the Niagara County DA, Mr. Seaman, was in a very difficult position. You know, he was called in from another county. This was not his county. He was asked by the state to do this. He did as good as he did. He didn't get cooperation from the Buffalo police officers who were at the scene. They wouldn't testify. They wouldn't tell them what happened. I mean, when I heard about that, I said, you know, that's a thing. They can do that. I mean, I thought that was their job. And quite frankly, up until that point, I had kept relatively quiet about everything, but that just set me off. I mean, that's just wrong. They should stand up. They should tell what they knew. I mean, I think the special prosecutor was in a difficult position. I can feel his pain.
What kind of communication over all this is there with City Hall? Are there fingers being pointed at City Hall in the current administration?
Well, I think, I mean, when the special prosecutor came out and gave his report and said that there's, you know, the cops weren't cooperating, I think everybody started pointing fingers at those officers and said, you know, that's not a good look. Now, you know, I think I'm interested as Erie County Comptroller in finding out what's going on in Erie County. How far up the chain of command did this go? Who knew what? When did they know it? And certainly we'd be interested in the same sort of thing with the Buffalo Police Department.
I have the DA on in the next segment, Kevin. Is there communication with the district attorney's office? Are they being upfront in anything they know? I mean, where do they play a part in all this?
Well, the DA, the Erie County DA, said early on that they were conflicted, that they had a person in their department who you know, had some relationship to the case or with the people in the case. So that they had a conflict of interest. And that's why the Niagara County DA was brought into this. So I think it's tough for Mike Kane, the Erie County DA, to weigh in on much of any of this for that reason. And he was very upfront about that.
So them being upfront, you don't think that they're any part of the cover-up or the initial cover-up? I know you said you wouldn't tell me, but I got to ask the question.
Well, I would hope not. I mean... certainly I would hope not. They were not involved in doing the investigation because they were conflicted. They passed it off to the Niagara County DA. So really, you know, I can't imagine that they'd be involved in a cover up.
Kevin, how long would something like this take from the state level? It seems like this isn't the first time that the attorney general and the governor have been called to investigate. How long would this take? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, before we can answer that question, we got to get their attention. We got to get them involved. You know, Councilman David Rivera in the Buffalo City Council was the first to call for the state attorney general to launch an investigation. Then I weighed in, and then legislator Taisha Jean St. Tard weighed in, and now the Democratic caucus is weighing in. So hopefully, you know, the pressure is mounting. Hopefully we get their attention. How long would it take for an investigation? You know, I'm not a professional investigator. I don't play one on TV, so I'm not the person to ask that question of. But it's something that needs to be done.
Well, hopefully we don't have to wait until the big St. Patrick's Day luncheon when the attorney general's in town, Kevin.
Well, you'll be there with your microphone, Joe, won't you?
Well, I don't know if the new show, Kevin, doesn't really work out. That might be done. I was having so much fun going to that.
Yeah. Well, it was obvious. It was obvious. I tried to avoid you.
And that too was obvious. No. This is the kind of thing. It just seems like it's kind of hanging over Western New York, or Buffalo and Erie County politics. I mean, it seems like it was a point of discussion during the primary. It's still a point of discussion now. It seems like it would be in everyone's best interest if the state could take this and kind of, you know, the county be done with it and back to other issues.
I would agree, and I would urge you to write a letter to the governor and to the attorney general also, Joe.
Well, they don't get back to my request for hardline, but maybe I do have one more question. The reason we have the district attorney on is, and the reason we talked to the clerk a few days ago, is this the Buffalo News trying to get the county trying to put the Buffalo News in the clerk's office. Do you have any thoughts on that back and forth?
Well, you know, I heard a portion of that interview yesterday, and I mean, I think it's not uncommon for governments to give space to news outlets that have beat reporters, as in the case of the Buffalo News with Sandy Tan. I mean, she's that's her beat. She does county day in and day out. You know, Mickey probably remembers when he was a state assemblyman up in the state capitol on the third floor of the state capitol between the Senate and assembly chambers. There's the Legislative Correspondents Association, And all the media outlets, the big media outlets, have little offices in this big suite. I mean, the New York Times, the New York Post, various radio networks all have, you know, they're given space by the state to make their job easier, because I think, you know, the media are important when it comes to being our eyes and ears. We all can't be in the state capitol. We all can't be in county hall. So it's kind of nice that someone who likes Sandy has the county beat is there. I'm sure, you know, if WBEN had a beat reporter, someone who was going to spend more than half their time on county matters, they would be given a space. And if you want a space, I'm sure I can find a cubby hole in my office for you, Joe.
Believe me, I've had a few emails from people in county government offering me to do a show in their office. But
In fact, I'd put up a Mets poster in it for you. I'd donate it.
Well, hopefully my shows are better than Mets starting pitching. But do you understand the clerk's issue with, you know, not really getting the notice except for a 10-day eviction and the location to where the news would be seeing everyone that walked in and out of his office?
Yeah, I think there probably should have been better coordination between the people in DPW, the buildings and grounds, and the clerk. But in terms of the general idea of providing space for the news outlets, I mean, that is done all the time at all different levels of government. I mean, that I have no problem with that. Yeah, it should have been handled a little bit better, probably. But the idea of, you know, her having a place to work since she is there all the time just makes perfect sense to me. And again, that would go for any media outlet.
Kevin, you have been busy. You're running a campaign while all this is going on. Any update on how the campaign's going?
Swimmingly, Joe. It's been kind of quiet, but the election is 40 days from today. And, you know, we're obviously making plans, getting ready to uncork a campaign pretty soon. Stay tuned.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking with you about that. And I just, before I let you go, I have to see if I'm playing Brian in fantasy this week so I can pass a message through you. I am not playing Brian this week in fantasy. So next time we speak, hopefully we'll have the matchup going the same week.
All right. Very good, Joe. Hey. Thanks for thinking of me.
Hey, well, Kevin, thank you for agreeing to be on, and always great catching up with you. And like I said, we'll be talking with you. We'll be talking with your opponent in the next 40 days. And go Mets.
Go Mets, indeed. Hopefully they have a good weekend.
Hey, if they can't against the Marlins, they don't belong in the playoffs. Thank you, Kevin. That is Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick talking about the DJ Granville case, his thoughts on the way the Buffalo News office was handled, and the campaign. He is the incumbent running against Christine Czarnecki. We've had her on the show a few times. We will have her on the show again to give us an update on the campaign. You know, we're following all the local campaigns. This Sunday, you heard Josh Collins. He's running a write-in campaign in Hamburg for supervisor. Well, the two endorsed candidates in that race will be on Hardline this Sunday, 10 and 10:30. Beth Farrell Lorenz at 10, and Bob Reynolds, the endorsed Democrat. Beth Lorenz is the endorsed Republican. Bob Reynolds, the endorsed Democrat, will be joining me at 10:30 on Sunday. So we will have the full look at the Hamburg supervisors race. And like I said, I'm going to be trying to highlight all of the elections that are going on. Obviously, the big ones, the city of Buffalo mayoral race, Amherst supervisor. Yes, Kevin, the comptroller's race is one of the highlighted races. It's countywide against Hardwick, the endorsed Democrat, and Christine Czarnecki, the endorsed Republican. But you also have the supervisor's race in Hamburg, as I said, which we'll be highlighting this weekend. We have the mayor's race in North Tonawanda, something that we have highlighted and we'll be highlighting again. If there is a local election, by the way, I should tell you this now. If there's a local election that you don't think I have focused enough on Hardline or have focused at all, and you want to get either yourself on or a candidate that you are endorsing, You can shoot me an email, joe.beamer@wben.com, and let me know. I want to make sure that we are highlighting all the races all over Western New York. So if it's not something that is on my radar and you want to put it on my radar, again, joe.beamer@wben.com, and we'll make sure to have, you know, like I said, I'd like to highlight all the races. I mean, I can't spend all my time just going after Sean Ryan, right? He knows he has an invitation on the hardline. If he doesn't want to come on hardline, that's his problem. But I do want to highlight all the elections that are going on. And by the way, the point I'd like to make, Kevin Hardwick, a Democrat, our next guest, Michael Caine, a Democrat. It is interesting. These are two people that I have vocally disagreed with on certain things. They continue to come not only on my show, on this station, right? Because they are elected officials. And again, we might disagree. I might disagree with where they stand on certain things or how they handle certain things. But they realize a lot of people are listening to the station, and they're the people who are voting. So as much as we may disagree on policy, it is nice that there are some mature adults in the local Erie County Democrat Party that can actually have conversations with people they disagree with. And again, as much as we may have disagreements on certain things, I have a ton of respect for people who want to talk, because I think that's what it's all about. Obviously, I enjoy talking with Comptroller Kevin Hardwick, and we will have a great conversation, I am sure, with the district attorney after this on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome back. Good afternoon. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you've missed any of the show, well, make sure you go and search Joe Beamer on the Odyssey app, click podcasts, and follow this show. You won't miss anything. It'll be all there. And, you know, the good thing about following and making sure the show is downloaded to your phone, maybe you are driving around and it's late at night and you're in the middle of nowhere, possibly driving to Blacksburg, Virginia for a football game, and there's no phone signal. Well, at least you got the Joe Beamer download on your Odyssey app to get you through that little spot of maybe Somersville, West Virginia, where there is no decent phone service. We are joined this segment by the District Attorney of Erie County, Mike Caine. D.A. Caine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the things that we were going to discuss, we had the comptroller on, and I know this was something that your office got moved out quickly because of conflict of interest. I just want to know, do you have any comments on any of the language around the Granville case we heard this morning?
You know, Joe, I didn't listen to the segment, and I'm as you know, I have a conflict, and I asked for a special prosecutor to be appointed, so I really do not have any comment on that.
I didn't think so. I just thought I would follow up. We talked earlier in the week with the Erie County Clerk, Mickey Kearns, and we're talking about this office space that the county is trying to move the clerk out of to put the Buffalo News in. You know, this is a part of the building that you're also involved in. What's your thoughts on how this has been handled and the Buffalo News being in that part of the building?
So, Joel, my understanding, which is recent, actually, I came to understand that the that this has taken place, and according to the county clerk, the space they're talking about is adjacent to space that the county clerk has been allowing me to use for some of my employees. Just to give you a little history here, when we were moved into this space here at 25 Delaware, it was 2004, 21 years ago. And at that time, the Erie County District Attorney's Office had 178 employees. Well, now we have 227 employees. So we have 49 new employees, and we have the same exact workspace. So we have been sitting on top of each other now for years, and I've been trying to get more space for my attorneys and my support staff for many years. In fact, you know, we have essentially cannibalized the office space that we have. We've taken conference rooms, we've taken closets, we've doubled up lawyers. You know, for the 100 lawyers that handle the cases in my office, I have 2 conference rooms. So, you know, we're on top of each other, and I've been trying to get space now for a couple of years. I'm really confined by, you know, I've got to be in the same building where the courthouses are. I've also got to be very close to the Erie County Holding Center. So we're right across from the street from the Holding Center, and we're in the same building as most of the criminal courts. So that's where we're stuck, but we need more space. So it's, you know, it's a point of frustration for me that we haven't been able to accomplish that.
And now, so you're not against the Buffalo News having office space. It's just you're already running out of space. It would be nice if your office could have that space.
Well, sure, but in addition to that, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the Buffalo News has had some space in that building, 92 Franklin, for years. And, you know, I don't know the circumstances behind those agreements, and you know, that's I don't have any problem with that, quite frankly, but I need additional space. And the space that apparently they're going to be utilizing now is adjacent to the space that the county clerk has offered for us. So, you know, we're going to have training in those, in that space, and I need to make sure that that's secure. I'm told that it's, you know, that the walls are paper thin, and I, much as I love, you know, talking to the media, I really don't want the Buffalo News in the middle of my meetings and trainings with my lawyers.
No, I think that's completely understandable. Now, what is the reasoning for the necessity of more space? Is the office growing? Maybe shed some light on that.
Sure. Thanks for asking. Because you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the last few years in the criminal justice system in New York has been, you know, a lot of changes, and one of those changes is changes to the discovery laws. So, when the state legislature did that, they also, at the direction of the governor, they provided us additional resources to be able to deal with the discovery challenges. So the additional resources, bottom line, is they've given us a lot more money to hire more people. And we've gone from literally 178 to 227 employees, basically almost 30% increase. And even though we've been able to, you know, deal with the discovery challenges more efficiently, we have not been given more space, and we need, you know, like I can't have lawyers meeting in the public with witnesses and having conversations with victims. And so I, you know, it's come to the point where we've had a number of conversations with the county executive's team, as well as Mickey Kearns with the county clerk's office. And Mickey's been, you know, very good to me, quite frankly, in letting me utilize some of his space. And, you know, I also am aware that the courts are, you know, sort of full. They need space as well. And I've been talking to the leadership at the Office of Court Administration, and you know, so we're all kind of you know, in a position where we need more space. And I know that, you know, the county clerk has some space available. I've had conversations with him over the last year about, you know, trying to utilize some of his space in a more permanent basis, but you know, we haven't finalized those conversations or agreements. But you know, this has definitely come to a head for me, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting this resolved for the people that work in this office.
You know, the Buffalo News could go to the Main Place Mall. There's a ton of space there, and then they could just walk down and do their work.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, I that might be an option for them, but I'm not in the business of telling the Buffalo News.
I understand, and we'll have more with the clerk on Bowerly's show. He'll be joining Bowerly to give an update on this. Mr. DA, why we have you, or Mike, why we have you? I don't know why I said Mr. DA. That sounded like a PBS special. Why we have you? You know, bail reform has been coming up in the mayoral election, and it's something that came up. Your opponent in the DA's race is now running for mayor of Buffalo. From your position of DA, and you've been in the office since before you were the DA, bail reform, how has that contributed to either crime or to just headaches in the justice system?
So, as you may know, the bail laws were changed beginning in January 2020. They were changed again in April of that year, and then again in May of 2022 and in May of 2023. And so there have been a number of tweaks to the bail statute that governs the criminal justice system in New York State. You know, I think, quite frankly, there is a lot of misinformation out there, and some of it is probably being done intentionally. But the bottom line is the bail statutes have been changed. In New York, we are, you know, we are confined to make arguments that that the court can consider only whether or not a person is going to return to court. Okay. Now there are a number of us, including me, that DAs that would like to see an additional standard added to the bail statute that a person, if a person is a danger to the community or to another person, that is a basis for setting bail. But Joe, I can tell you that a lot of judges wouldn't make a difference to them. So, you know, there have been some situations here, and I'm not going to talk about specific cases, where people have argued that that's a bail reform problem, and it's just not the case. It's misleading. If we can go to court and argue before a judge that a defendant should be remanded, and we do that, and a judge does not remand that person, that's the judge's decision. That's always been the case in New York. The judges get to make those decisions on bail. Sometimes they don't want to, you know, follow our recommendations in the district attorney's office. And if they don't, and someone that they've released on bail goes out and commits a crime, that's not bail reform. And I think that's one of the things that's been misleading in some of the public discourse about this subject.
So from your point of view, or your opinion, is that since the bail reform, there's not more people leaving than before?
Well, obviously there are more people that are getting released because, you know, the judges are not allowed to set bail. We're not allowed to ask for bail. But just for example, I'll put it to you this way. I think the thing that the public is most concerned about, and that I'm most concerned about, is that when it comes to the bail argument, is that violent criminals are allowed to be held on bail or remanded, meaning that there's no bail. And that is the case right now in New York State. We can ask for bail or ask for remand on every single violent felon charge in the state, with one exception that comes up very, very infrequently. But other than that, and there's almost 200 violent felony or violent, you know, crimes in New York, we can ask for bail on those. So that's the one thing. I think the bail statute does address that concern that the public has, that violent criminals can be held on bail or remanded. The second thing that I think people are frustrated about is the recidivism. Okay. In other words, you know, some 17-year-old kid goes and steals a car, and then he goes out and does it again next week, and then he does it a week after that. Now, the bail statute does not allow for us to ask for remand on those cases because those are not qualifying offenses. And if someone goes out and steals a car and then steals a second one and a third one, I should be able to ask the judge to remand that person. Now, I am able to do that under this harm analysis, and I know this is a little convoluted. I am able to do that, but I do think that issue could be better addressed by some changes to the bail statute, and I would certainly support that. I would also support a change to the bail statute that would allow a judge on the first instance, regardless of whether they're going to return to court, to decide that person is a danger to the community and therefore should be held on bail. Now, most of the times that issue comes up, that defendant is charged with a violent criminal offense. So the vast majority of times we are allowed to ask a judge to remand someone. And at the end of the day, if the judge doesn't do it, that's the judge's decision. And that should not be confused with a problem with the bail statute.
But does the judge have more control over that now than before the bail reform? Like before 2020, would there be a clear cut and dry, if you did this, you have to be placed under some type of, you can't be placed on cashless bail?
Before 2020, the judges had complete discretion. Okay, and they exercised it. Now they have less discretion on what we call they cannot set bail on non-qualifying offenses. The vast majority of those non-qualifying offenses are not violent crimes. So the judges have less discretion now. You know, they can still set bail or remand anybody except, like I said, with one exception, that's charged with a violent felony offense.
I know you said you didn't want to talk about specifics, so I'm just going to ask a name. So if even before the bail reform laws that they say are set today, even before 2020, Ricky Crouch would have been out.
No.
In 2019.
Well, that's up to the judge. That was up to the judge in 2019. It would have been up to the judge in 2010, and it was up to the judge in 2025. We asked for remand. We had every right to ask for remand. That was our recommendation. The judge did set bail, and he posted bail. Okay. That has nothing to do with the bail reform statute. And anybody that's saying that is trying to mislead the people that they're saying that to.
And your office only has, I mean, your only office only has so much control over the judge, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I'll say it a different way. We have no control over the judges.
Sorry.
We can make recommendations. On bail, we can make recommendations, and we do. But at the end of the day, that is a decision that judges get to make.
But in a case like that, shouldn't your office hold the decision that your office make have a lot more weight? I know that it's at the end of the day, it's the judge, but I don't know. Maybe I have to talk to a judge about ruling against that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what you're basically saying is, shouldn't the judges give more consideration to our recommendation? Yes, of course I would agree with that.
Yeah, and then you talked about raise the age as well. The 17-year-old, that's where, and we heard this from the New York State Police. I mean, this is where there's a lot of frustration because, you know, a car gets stolen and the next day that kid's out on the street. Would that be something that you would go and voice your displeasure with when it comes to raise the age to the assembly?
Yes. I not only would, I have. I think, you know, there's some significant issues, problems with the raise the age legislation. It was passed, it was signed in 2017. It took effect, you know, over, you know, 2 years, 2018 and 2019. The biggest problem that I have with it is that it requires us to make what they call extraordinary circumstances motions in order for us to keep a case in youth part as opposed to family court on certain violent felony offenses. So if someone's 16 years old and they're in possession of they're unlawfully in possession of a loaded firearm, that's a criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree, a violent felony offense. Regardless of how many times that person has been arrested in the past, we have to prove to a judge that this is an extraordinary circumstance. And it's a very, very difficult standard. It's a standard that the legislature itself said this should only be granted in one out of every 99 cases or one out of every 100 cases. So it's a standard that doesn't make a lot of sense to me on certain cases, and I think the law should be revisited. With respect to the issue you're talking about, stolen cars being, you know, repeat offenders, that is another thing that should be addressed in the raise the age statute. If it were changed, it would allow us to, in the way that I want it, I think those repeat offenders, we should be able to get access to their records, and then we would be able to make arguments that would satisfy a standard where those cases should not go to family court. They should stay in youth part.
District Attorney, Erie County District Attorney Mike Kane. Mike, really appreciate you coming on. My final question, 15 years ago, I was on jury, and two people got kicked off the jury. We were down to our final alternate. How often does that happen?
They would have, if they didn't pick if they didn't get down to the final alternate, Joe, they would have brought more jurors in the next day, I think, if I understand what you're asking. Both sides, the people and the defense in jury selection, have the right to challenge certain jurors from sitting. The court ultimately makes those decisions as to whether we can, you know, have a juror excused. But essentially, you know, we go through jury selection. Sometimes it's done in a day. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 days. It really just depends on the nature of the case. And, sometimes the time of year can be difficult. You know, in the summer, it's more difficult to get jurors in here than it is, maybe in the winter months.
Yeah, seems that way. Hey, Mike, really appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Joe. Pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
That is the Erie County District Attorney, Mike Kane, talking about the office dilemma. He needs more office space, and he doesn't, you know, if you hear one constant between all of this, right, Hardwick, Kearns, and Kane, they all are, you know, fine with the Buffalo News being there, but as the clerk has said and as the district attorney just said, not there, not in that spot, especially as close as it is to the clerk's office, and the district attorney needs more space. I am still, hey, Buffalo News, you want to do a story, come on down here and do the story. But I have to say, the my favorite part about all this is I've had now three people reach out and offer up their office for a show. And if you don't think I'm taking those people up on their offer and doing a show from the old county hall, then you do not know Joe Beamer too well. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to do a show downtown. We'll have to talk with everyone and get something set up. Really appreciate our guests today, Dan Gagliardo, Kevin Hardwick, Mike Kane. It's nice to have conversations. And again, yes, it's nice to talk with people. You know, like the district attorney, like the comptroller, you know, we have different opinions on certain things. We have different political leanings, but it's nice to be able to have a conversation. If you have a response to anything you heard in the first three segments, I'm going to open the phones up to you, 803-0930, star 930. Get on, shoot us a text, 803-0930, and we'll talk with you after the news with Brayton on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, a little warrant. Heaven. All right. Monster Ballads. I'm telling you, that had some two-disc set. They had some good ones. It is Joe Beamer. Final segment here for me of the week on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you want to comment on anything you heard in the last 90 minutes, now is your time to voice your concerns, voice your opinions. 803-0930, star 930. You can also get it on, you can text us at 803-0930, star 930. This is it right here. Let me see. Oh, no, that's Monsters of Rock. Never mind. I had the wrong one. This morning, Brian and Susan were talking to David before David's show and talking about the stadium. And I cannot believe that I never put this together, but they made a great point. You know, the Odd sat there for 13 years until they started tearing it down. And you remember when it was half torn down and you could see right into the Odd? But that sat there for a long time. And it's like with the stadium, the plan is, hey, as soon as we're done with this thing, we need to dismantle it, sell every single piece that we can make a profit off of, and then tear it down. I mean, the odd chairs were sitting there until, you know, they started clearing it out for demolition. I know because I went in there in 2008. We snuck in through a Zamboni door and took a seat back because everything, you know, I mean, the screws were like rusted away. So I just tore off one of the blue seat backs at the odd and walked out with it. I'll tell you, I wish we had smartphones then. I mean, I know, but smartphones existed, but not to the point they do now. I wish we had like, I wish I had an iPhone in my pocket when we walked through. Because it was such a cool experience. Like, I can still see myself walking through there in the summer of 08. And, you know, going and seeing, like, we got pretty deep into the odd. And you're seeing, like, current style Pepsi bottles and Gatorade bottles. Like, obviously, as they're called now, the unhoused were in the odd. And, you know, probably should not have been going in there, just two idiots walking through the odd. Probably not the smartest decision, but, you know, when you're 20 or 19, when you're your late teens, you don't care. You're like, oh, this is the coolest thing. But yeah, I do wish I had video evidence of walking through the odd because it was pretty cool to get on the ice level and to walk around the lower bowl and then go up to the top seats. Again, probably completely dangerous. And again, this was after everything had started falling apart. Remember, the October storm is when it flooded and the odd, you know, got even more ruined and sat there in disrepair. But it is funny how long it sat there. I mean, it got to the point where we just accepted that this big empty building, again, where a lot of, you know, the Sabres played, the Braves played in the 70s, Elvis performed. Like, it was the center of entertainment in Western New York for a long time. And then this, it just sat there. And it was still a train stop. You could stop right at the stairs of the odd. And I remember we would run up and run up those stairs for no reason, of course. But it's interesting. There was no plan. Like, this seems to be a theme in the city of Buffalo. Just no plan going forward. You know, you hear Sean Ryan say, oh, this is something we need to address. We need to make the city more business friendly. We need to, I'm going to have a small business liaison. Well, you're small, no offense, Sean Ryan, and, you know, if he would accept my invitation. I would ask him, what's the small business liaison going to do about the taxes that are involved with owning a business, the minimum wage for part-time help that you helped pass through, and you can't run away from that, not that you're trying to, because we had that conversation on Hardline, and I'll never forget Sean Ryan and I talking about minimum wage, and he said, Tanner, one of these days we're just going to have to go through all the audio. I have to go through all the audio. I'm not giving Tanner anything else to do. He has enough on his plate. I have to go through the audio. And fine, when Sean Ryan said, you know, the Bed Bath & Beyonds of the world have the money. And I could not wait for him to start talking to say, no, they don't. They went out of business. But again, this is the guy, and it's not just Sean Ryan, to be fair. A lot of people in elected office who want to talk about, you know, these big corporations. And again, they don't exist. Bed Bath & Beyond has been out of business for years now. Toys R Us has been out of business for years now. You know, and you know, there's a lot contributing with that, including bad decisions within the company. But minimum wage hikes, tax, property tax, business tax, all the crap that New York State throws at businesses, that doesn't help. So when you look at downtown Buffalo, I mean, it does look like There's a lot of buildings, a lot of stuff there. You go, what is the plan? I mean, the plan for Buffalo has been for as long as I can remember. Well, someone's going to come in here and develop it. Okay, who? Who else that's not involved in downtown now, right? You had a gift with Doug Jamal. Doug Jamal, not from Buffalo. He came here. He dropped a ton of money. Okay? Where's the next... Where's the next savior for downtown Buffalo? Right? I mean, you've got Rocco Termini. He's doing everything he can. Doug Jamal, he's there. You've got Sinatra. They're back up, I think, with Heritage Point. So you've got the developers who are currently involved and the owners. Who's next? And you look at the odd, and it's like, what was the city of Buffalo's plan with the odd when they left it sitting there for 13 years? Another empty building just sitting there. And look, there's still the part of the big hole it left sitting there in downtown Buffalo. 16 years. They tore down the odd when I started at WBEN. 16 years later, there's still remnants in the ground of the odd. You get what I'm saying? There's no plan. It seems like decades now of minimal to zero plan in just hoping. Throw something up there and hoping something saves us. Again, hoping Bass Pro Shop saves us. Pushing back on the hotel casino. Like all of these potentials, and then if you suggest anything that that's crazy, right? Doug Jamal wanted to put a Wegmans downtown. Now, regardless of what you think about the logistics of having a Wegmans downtown, if I'm within city government, if I'm an elected official, okay, how do you expect to make this work? Like, I'm asking the question, because what's the alternative? The atrium still sitting there empty? I mean, seriously, what is the alternative? It seems like there are people in the city of Buffalo, in the city government, who are just content with the status quo. That used to be a Burger King 15 years ago, but, you know, it's just times, man. The times have changed. Have they? Have the times changed? Or are you just skating by? Well, you know, I keep on getting elected. You know, you look online, you see all the empty buildings up for sale. You know, and you just think, no one's going to take all these buildings. If you're a small business owner, and you go talk to Sean Ryan, small business liaison, why would you go downtown? Like, what is unless it's a Sabres game, a concert, but those things aren't every day. And you've got people, they're working on hybrid schedules. They're not working downtown anymore. Like, what is the big plan? Oh, well we got to look into it. We got to look into developing it. Right? You ask about the Main Place Mall. Well, we got to look into developing it. Okay, that's the plan. Just keep on looking into it. Because you looked into what to do with the odd, allegedly, and it sat there empty for 13 years in disrepair. I focus a lot on downtown Buffalo, and people go, Joe, there's other stuff to talk about. But it's really disheartening. It's really disappointing, right? When it's just decades of nothing being done. Like, yeah, you had the Pagulas. And they built Harbor Center, and they brought brought a building back from the dead and put a beautiful bar in there. Okay, so what's next? Right? I mean, the arena area is kind of built up now. You've got the pizza plant, you've got a few hotels. It just seems like there's no vision. It's, well, someone will come and do it. Okay, that's the plan. I can't pay my bills this week. Well, someone will come and pay them. Let's go to Marco in Buffalo. Marco, your thoughts.
Hey, my thoughts. You're talking about a big savior coming to Buffalo, and I heard you mention Doug Jamal as one of them. But I'd like you to do a little research on Doug Jamal. Right now, he's in financial distress. He stopped his work on his plans for the Mohawk Ramp. He stopped work at the Statler. He's starting to bail on Buffalo. He's gotten out of the Henry Hotel. There's too many people thinking that one person is going to come in here with billions of dollars and save us, or one business.
Well, that's,
it's all about small business.
Well, that's my point.
We've got to address small business in the city of Buffalo. That's the backbone of the American industry, is small business. These big saviors, you put all your eggs in one basket. Someone trips, all you got is broken eggs.
And that's, but that's, it seems that's the city of Buffalo's plan. Who's the next savior, right? Who's the next? And I agree with you. I mean, small business is great. If I'm looking to open a business, though, Marco, I wouldn't go near downtown Buffalo. I don't think I'd be able to capitalize on my investment in the current state right now.
You know, I live downtown Buffalo. I don't see all this crime that you're talking about.
I didn't even mention crime. I just mentioned, where are the people? Where are the people?
And can I also talk about another topic, school bus cameras?
I mean, it's not open lines, Marco, but you called in. What's your beef with school bus cameras?
You know, my wife, who just retired as a school teacher, got a ticket for passing a school bus. She was on Niagara Street, had a green light, is going. This ticket was... We just got this ticket. It was from a year ago. The bus was a block away on a side street. The cameras are there. I live downtown constantly. These school bus drivers, I'm at a stop sign. They're at a stop sign. They start waving to me to go. And they still have their stop sign up and their thing and their camera going. I'm wondering how many other people are just waved on by these school bus drivers and are getting tickets.
Well, Marco, you have given me a great idea for a topic on Monday, and I appreciate that. I will say this. I always hear that. Well, you know, where's the crime? I mean, it just takes a few incidents that are on the news, and people go, well, I don't really want to go there. You know, there was a shooting there. This happened. It's just like the mall, right? Well, you know, last time I was there was a fight and they had to clear out the section of the mall. I mean, it just takes a few incidents. People don't feel safe. People have to feel safe. You know, it's what James Gardner's running on, and I agree with him. People have to feel safe. But regardless of that, right, that I believe is a factor. But there's still a big problem with people aren't going downtown, be it crime, be it there's nothing to do. Businesses are leaving downtown Buffalo for a reason. So we can't just dismiss it with, well, I don't see any crime. No, we've got to, why aren't people downtown? Right? And what's the plan? If it's Gardner, if it's Gaynor, if it's Ryan, what is the plan to not be the downtown Buffalo of my entire lifetime? That's the question. And we'll talk more about it on Monday. Tom Bowerly has a program coming up next. Tom, what is on the show? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Tom is coming up next. He is going to have Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns, I believe in the 4 o'clock hour, to discuss the issue we discussed with the district attorney, the issue that we discussed with Mickey on Tuesday. He is going to be talking to Tom about the next chapter, where we are going from here, as there have been developments in that. So stay tuned to that. Tom Bowerly up after the news with Brayton Wilson. I am off tomorrow. I know. Chris Kroc will be filling in for me tomorrow. And then on Monday, I don't know who's filling in for me Monday, but I am filling in for David Bellavia on Monday. Brian Nowak, he is the supervisor of Cheektowaga. He has been kind enough to move to 10 to take your calls. So that's 10 a.m. on Monday. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia. And Brian Nowak will be there to take your calls. And again, he is going to talk with Susan and Brian tomorrow. So listen tomorrow at 7:20. And then if you have a question for the Cheektowaga supervisor, he will be with me for the hour starting at 10 o'clock on Monday as I fill in for David Bellavia. Hardline on Sunday, focus on Hamburg. In the first hour, we'll be talking with our council member, Beth Farrell Lorenz. She is the endorsed Republican and endorsed conservative. And then at 10:30, Bob Reynolds. He is the endorsed Democrat. You heard from Josh Collins. He is running a write-in campaign. He was on Hardline last week. The two endorsed opponents will be on this week on Sunday. And again, I am off tomorrow. Chris Kroc filling in for me. I will talk with you 10 o'clock Sunday on Hardline, and then 9 a.m., I'll be filling in for David Bellavia. I'll talk with you then. Don't touch that dial. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Brayton Wilson. And don't forget, later in his show, he will have Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns. Have yourself a great weekend. Go Hokies. Go Bills. Hopefully on Monday we're talking about a playoff, about a Mets team heading to the playoffs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.